Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
It is the Tuesday edition. The Rich Bisaccia is back for at least another year. And Packers fans are unhappy? Edition. The Luke Getsy is back on staff after unsuccessful stints as an offensive coordinator in Chicago and Las Vegas. And Packers fans are not happy? And Tausch may or may not be back on video. And if he is, I could tell you this. I'm happy. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And he can't wipe the smile off my face. It feels like it's been as long as he was in California on that month-long vacation since I've seen his smiling face. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. Oh, by the way, I'm Jason Wilde. I'm in Green Bay. Hunter Vaughn is the cousin sub of the day for Jesse in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios. But back where he belongs, in his undisclosed location for all to see, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tausch. Tausch, good morning. Great to have you back.
It's good to be back. It took a lot of work, Hunter, and it took Jesse leaving for us to get this figured out. So I don't know if that's a coincidence or if it's just happenstance that this is how it worked out. But Hunter, Riley, Jody, the great team, we figured it out. And I don't know if that's a good thing. We'll see. By the views, if it was a good thing. And if it's down today, I think I might go back to just being audio OT. But for today, we're going to be VOT again.
Please no.
VOT again. Please no.
So who gets the lion's share of the credit for getting Jody. You back up and running?
Jody.
And is there any lion's share of the blame to go around for anyone who caused you to be off for as long as you were on our little TV show?
I don't do that. Good team players don't publicly admonish other teammates.
Yeah, but what if it was you?
It wasn't me. What do you mean, what if it was me?
I'm sorry. You're a good teammate. I'm sorry. It wasn't me. It was somebody else. It wasn't me. All right. Well, we're glad to have you back. I got a lot of laundry folded in the last couple of days while you were gone. Those have now been put away.
One of our good friends and fans of the show, I'm not going to tell you who, you can figure it out later, texted me yesterday and said, when I got irritated with you after I went on, which I'm guessing will be a sound graph, a great quote, 2-minute rant on the ability of a quarterback to run and what it does to a defense, and we had a whole thing. It was, I thought, a really interesting conversation. You were folding laundry, and you just uttered Aaron Rodgers right after that comment. You were not listening to a thing I said. Is that a fair assessment?
No, not at all. First of all,
the Fultzy, I'm not going to put anybody's business on the street, but Fultzy said you caught Wilde, is what he told me.
No, that wasn't at all.
I'm just telling you.
Well, he's entitled to his opinion, but no, I was not. First of all, I was not folding laundry. That is a joke. Second of all, I was looking up some statistics, but I was still listening. And third, I'm not sure what you were looking for from me there, other than attaboy, great job, really insightful stuff, way to go.
Yep.
But I definitely listened, and it was insightful stuff. And now I know that I need to give more positive reinforcement to be a good teammate when you have
really
good stuff.
That. It's more like having after I talk, like a point that fits what I was just talking about. It's not, it doesn't need to be, oh, T, that was great, blah, blah, blah. It could just be, well, the defensive end stuff is really interesting. You know, getting into all of that, not just talking about Aaron Rodgers and Chico. I mean, that was the only thing that he
Yeah, no, all right, just to be clear, never discussed Chico at all. I was actually the Aaron Rodgers information about running the football. Some might say, apparently not Fultzy, but some might say that that information was germane to what you were talking about in terms of the
Fultzy
quarterback.
Fultzy and I both agree. Fultzy and I agree. You were poo-pooing it. Jerriad, I think, also agrees with me. I have not gotten info from the Clinkster yet. I don't know if Brandon has talked about this potential Tulsa, Oklahoma remote that we might do because of our fan base in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, Brandon and Tulsa.
So now that I'm back on video, I just feel whole. I feel back, so I feel good about that. Question for you, and I don't know if you do this. You go on a road trip. We had a hockey tournament in Dallas last weekend.
Tulsa.
Last weekend. It was not in Tulsa. Again, I have not been to the great state of Oklahoma. It's on our list of places we want to go.
Do they have a
what
national
is the
park there?
Expectation if Max and I rent the car? What is the expectation of, let's just call it Bartski and his kid? What would be the expectations other than just being on time? What's the expectation when you do a carpool of that nature?
Are you saying, like, he pays for the gas?
No, I'm not even talking. There's nothing monetary I'm even talking about.
Okay.
That's not the question. The question is it ridiculous for me to ask for him to run the radio and or directions? Is that some obscene ask of someone that's
No, the navigation always goes, as I can tell you from my many, 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 many years of traveling for Packers coverage with Tom Oates, columnist emeritus of the Wisconsin State Journal.
What kind of a car mate was Oatsy? Did he drive? Did you drive? How did that work?
Once I was old enough to drive and rent a car, because remember you got to be 25 in order to be able to do that without like extra fees and stuff, I believe. So once I hit that magical age 25, I was the driver. He was the navigator. Again, when you think back to how long I've done this. There was no Google Maps. There was no GPS in the car. There was no Waze, which was his favorite once we got up to the computer age. There was no MapQuest yet. So you asked for a map at the rental counter, and Oatsy, being the outstanding cartographer that he was always the navigator for us. And he was great at it.
Was good with like the Atlas. You pull out the book and he's
if I made a wrong turn, was he great? Not as great. No. I may have ignored his commands once or twice and gone the wrong direction and taken us out of the way. The worst it ever got was when we were in Nashville for a Packers-Titans game, and we stayed at the Opryland Hotel, and was around Christmas time.
That's a big hotel.
I think that was during your era. You guys stayed there, too, as a team.
We stayed there.
And a bunch of guys, it's such a massive property, and it was Christmas time, and everybody comes inside. There's, like, gondolas going through it, and you're looking at Christmas lights inside the Opryland Hotel. And I remember multiple players being late for meetings because they couldn't negotiate the very large facility that you were in. But Otsi was, we spent about an hour and a half getting from the exit off the highway into the parking attendant area. That did not, that was not enjoyable. So that was one of the few times where he lost his temper. Not just at me, but at the poor parking guy to whom he said, "Don't you have any civil engineers in this town?" So that was a great moment. And I hope Otsi is listening.
Otsi was mad about engineering. Okay. Well, anyways, so I didn't think it was a big deal. We got in and rental car lines, it was a mess. Everybody was patient for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Get in the car, we're going to the hotel, and he misses a turn. And for everybody that knows me on this show, you know I ain't happy about that. It ain't that hard. Like, it's just not. No big deal. All right, Bartski, we'll just keep going. He misses another turn. I get irritated. He then wants to rescind all navigational duties the rest of the weekend. And then the radio, he didn't really, I think he ended up breaking the radio. So
breaking the radio.
The radio didn't work the rest of the weekend. Like on worked the first night. Saturday comes, the radio didn't work. So he rescinds all duties and basically just wants to sit and have a great time and don't worry about anything else. I thought that was IPT. That's what I thought.
All right. I have, as is often the case with these stories, I have a myriad of questions, starting with when in the Google Maps age you are assigned navigation. What exactly does that entail? Is he texting you right now,
by
the way?
Get us from point
himself?
A to point B.
Right, but like,
point A to point
all right,
B.
So for example, newer vehicles, you plug in your, if you're an iPhone person, which I know you are, despite your desire to leave them, you plug it in, it's got Apple CarPlay, and the map comes up right on the screen. Did you have him doing it just on his phone and then telling you what
on
to do?
Phone.
Because that sounds like a bad setup, frankly.
Well, it's listen, at this point, they could have given me any car because the line was long. It just is what it is.
What'd you get? Did you get
they
Tahoe?
Actually didn't. They didn't even get us, though. We ended up with a, I don't even know. I'm sure it was some type of Chevy. But we didn't get, we were supposed to get a full size. We didn't. We would have had to wait it. I said, I just want to go. We need to be able to fit two hockey bags in and we're good. I don't care. Whatever. I don't know. The navigation system with the plug-in, it wasn't on the screen. The screen, actually, by Saturday, didn't even work. I'm going to blame Bart because I think he was hitting all these buttons. I'm not blaming Bart for that. But we did, and he just texted me. He didn't miss turns, but we had to do late merges. We missed a turn. We've had to do at least two U-turns over the weekend. So on Saturday, I just said, you know what? Take the day, relax, sit back.
Take the day. Take a beat.
Take
have a
the
meal.
Day off and enjoy it. So I guess I was just being, I think the word tyrannical was used.
I'm Team Bart here, bro. I'm Team Bart here.
How are you Team Bart?
Because if you plug it in to, it there's no way.
Hey, Jason, I don't have access to what the car is going to give me, okay? Is it that hard? You put it on your phone and you say, hey, Tausch, exit 36B, get over to the right. And then we started communicating and talking, and we were much better. First time, struggle. Second time, not great. By the third time, there was good communication between us, but then I could tell it looked like he had been through four football games. By the time we got to the hockey rink, he looked disheveled. He said he was walking on eggshells. He was nervy. I said, chill out, brah. So bad that he had to go to the hockey mom, kind of the, because his wife wasn't there either. That's why we were, riding together.
Sure.
He's going to the hockey mom to get Advil because he's so stressed out.
So my question is, you laugh at Bart's
well,
expense.
I thought it was ridiculous. We were just at a gas station. Whatever. I just thought that was funny.
Well, how do you feel about the fact that your tyrannical behavior left him so stressed out that he had a tension headache because of your tyrannical behavior?
In fairness, it could have been the 72 Coors Lights he drank the night before. But that's a conversation for another day. What it did, and I talked with Sarah that day, I said, I probably owe you an apology.
Probably.
Because if Bart gets this stressed out, I'm a lot more demanding when it comes to getting on the right turns, and because I always drive. And that's the price you pay. You drive, I'm going to maneuver, we'll get there, but I do demand, just like the Chiefs, I am the Chiefs of rental car. I demand excellence when it comes to getting on and off exits. I'm not asking
for, oh my God.
I can't even get that out with a straight
face. You sound more like
the
Jaguars.
But you know what I mean? I'm not asking for you to reinvent the wheel. I just want you to get me to on the right exit at the right time, and we get there on time. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, no, that's great. Between this story and the policy on stops, do you believe yourself to be an enjoyable person to ride with?
That's a really good question.
I never ride in a car with Tausch.
I think as a passenger, I think I am a treat. As the driver, I might be a bit demanding.
I'm a treat. What makes you a treat as a passenger, if I may ask?
Conversation, games. I love playing car games in the car. We're going to always have some kind of topics that we're going to be bantering about. I'll also be quiet and not say anything. I read the room. I read the car.
You read the vehicle. Yeah. So, and when you're driving long
and
distance.
Here's Bart's last quote, because I'm guessing he's irritated. Poor Sarah and Max, that's all I have to say.
Yeah.
So he obviously didn't have a great experience rolling around in whatever
Imagine.
Car we had.
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked. Four missed turns and a broken radio later, and he's the one irritated with me.
All right, there's no way you broke the radio. Like, you guys,
the radio's broke. The radio didn't work.
Are you sure you just didn't hit the wrong buttons and you were in like some sort of wrong source thing? Like, these are all what is it? Occam's razor that Josh taught us. Usually the simplest explanation is usually the right one. Maybe you just hit the wrong buttons.
No, literally you couldn't turn the station. The screen was dead.
Okay,
it's over.
Last question for me.
Yeah.
What remaining road trips are there for your hockey team? And is Bart now finding different transportation? Would he rather pay for his own vehicle? What is his mentality here? Can he ride with the hockey mom? Are there drawbacks to riding with other parents that are teammates? Because clearly he's, I think especially now, having been publicly questioned, I'm guessing that he's donezo with the carpool with the Tauschers.
I'm not sure. I'm actually going to reach out to him and see if he wants to go. We have a trip to St. Louis coming up in the next couple weeks. I'm going to see if he wants to carpool down to St. Louis. I'll let him drive.
Madison. Not just like flying into a place and then driving around that place. You're actually thinking after your treatment of him, hey, you know what would be great for Bart? He could drive down with us all the way.
I'm hoping he wants to still carpool down to St. Louis. And if he does, we'll have a great time. I got three or four different fun car games to play. We'll have a great time on the way down. I'll probably be rolling solo, I guess.
All right. Well, Bart, we stand with you. You poor bastard.
Can you say that on the radio?
I think so. We'll find out, I guess. What you have to say on the radio right now, though, is tell people about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. They, unlike you, are the best.
Happy New Year means a lot of rough days for Bart and anyone else riding with me. For those who suffer from seasonal affective disorder. I did learn that maybe I got to tone it back a little bit. I don't know if I will, but I learned I probably should. Plenty of gray, frigid days on the horizon where we all just want to be snuggly and warm at home. Pella can make your home as beautiful on the outside as it is comfortable on the inside. Celebrate the new year with zero interest for up to 3 years at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. But hurry up. You only have until January 31st. So visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Certain restrictions do apply. Jason, the only thing as we go out to break here, the amount of like disgust that I was asking him to do anything is what was really off-putting to me. Like that off-put me a little bit.
Is it possible that you need to maybe just, again, I'm not saying that it makes you a bad person, but is it possible that you maybe need to give a little bit of thought to your approach to how you treat others who ride in your vehicles? Especially, you admitted that you had to apologize. You admitted that you might owe Sarah an apology. Did you actually deliver said apology?
I told Sarah, she gets me, so she understands this. I know in the past she struggled with Tausch driving disorder, TDD. She has really grown. And I think my growth has been that I will now stop. I no longer force my agenda of just getting from A to B after I watch my daughter tear up from holding her bladder. So we've all learned. We've all grown in this crazy little world. And I think I think this trip down to Dallas has helped continue my growth on this path.
Bart, again, we stand with you. You have our sympathies. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Evan Cohen scheduled to appear in a few minutes. If you tuned in for a conversation about Rich Bisaccia, we'll get there. But any other notes to this point from Bart after putting his navigational business on the streets? Or has he ceased communication with you?
No, he's still communicating. I think he enjoyed that little banter back and forth. And my guess, just judging by the tweets I'm getting, most people are kind of on Bart's side on this. So,
you seem surprised.
Bart feels pretty good. I'm not. As I've said, I expect greatness. And when that doesn't
come. You're the Chiefs. Yeah.
when that doesn't come, I can understand why people get a little bit irritated. So, yeah, I get it. I'm not the easiest. News flash to everybody. Jason, by the way, you're no peach either. I'm not always the easiest person to deal with on a daily basis. And I feel very, very confident you're not that easy to deal with on a daily basis either.
Well, I want to thank you for that public admission, which you delivered after taking a shot at me and then followed up with a second shot at me on the other side of that admission.
It's not a shot.
You're not.
Are you an easy person to deal with on a day? Are you an easy person to deal with?
I think so.
Oh God, you're delusional. Okay, so you're not only you're very delusional and that. Okay, that's fair. Now, I guess the difference between you and I, there's a lot of differences. I'm not delusional. You're very delusional, which is okay.
You just called and yourself I know
retired Navy fella is going to be all over this first 30 minutes. And by the way, he's right today. Retired Navy fella, 100% right, at least for the first half hour today.
In the open of our show, I call you easygoing. Now, in fairness, and then you also, that again, much like you just did now, well, you're not easygoing at all. The last couple days, not so easygoing. Apparently,
to start
in
yesterday,
this drive,
today
not so
I've easygoing. Been easygoing. Today's been easygoing.
Today has been. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So far, so good. We'll change that next.
Listen.
What do you talk with
listen.
Evan Cohen?
Yeah, we will. I just wanted to get the video stuff working. I thought we had put in all this time. I'm going to be me. I'm frustrated. I'm not going to fake like I'm not frustrated. I'm sorry if that offends you. It's just I'm not going to be fake. I'm not.
So what you're saying is by being irritable and difficult, you deserve credit because you are just being authentic.
I'm not asking for credit. I'm explaining why I was ornery. I admit that I was ornery. 100%. I told you yesterday I was ornery.
You were. I didn't need you to tell me. Evan Cohen joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
For me, the next year, this upcoming year.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
It's when I'm judging Jordan Love on a lot of things.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
Tausch, before we talk to Evan, I'm curious, because I just posted this on Twitter. Have you guys ever ridden in a car before? Have you ever driven with him as your co-pilot?
Yes. Yeah, we Ubered together, and I jammed in next to him.
So never as the...
No, never as a driver.
Never in,
I would have
in
no,
Bart's
role. I'm going to tell you this. Evan and I would have no problem, because he would be probably just as ornery and demanding as I would be. So I think Evan and I would be great. I'll say this. If Evan wanted to do a road trip of 5 to 6 hours, I'd do it in a heartbeat. We could video the whole thing. I'd be on board with that. And we'd just talk different sports topics. We could do a remote in a car, and I would be more than happy to do that.
Okay. I'm eager to get his position on this. 5 to 6 hours. So, like,
yep.
Basically a digi
to
only.
St. Louis. Yeah, if he wants to come to watch Max's hockey in St. Louis, we'll throw him in a Chevy Tahoe. He'll sit up front. He'll navigate. We'll probably listen to some sports talk. We'll critique, and we'll have discussions on whatever he wants. And if he wants, when he comes for the Killers concert, that's going to be at Summerfest.
Yeah, June 27th.
We can figure out a way we could do something there, yeah.
All right, Evan, good morning. Are you on board with riding with Tausch and serving as his navigator? Because I'm guessing you have other things going on. You did not tune in to the first 30 or so minutes of the program, so you may or may not know what you'd be signing up for. Good morning.
I have no idea. Hi, Jason, Mark, Hunter, Jesse, of course, out. Not a big time in sports. So I am a little confused on this because I was in our post-show meeting and then just Hunter gave me a call. So I'm aware of the Killers concert because Tausch texted me frantically yesterday. I didn't know my role within the Killers concert for Tausch specifically.
All right. So I think if you want, Evan, I will handle, like you handled Tornado. I'll call Joe Thomas and see if he can get us tickets to the Killers like you did at Tornado. Are you right. In for the concert?
Well, as long as there's not a catch with whatever you're about to say next.
There's no catch. There will be no catch.
Well, okay. So I did look yesterday at flights. I looked yesterday after you told me about this. First of all, to your credit, you told me about this. I searched it online. It was like nowhere. Like, so somehow Tausch actually had this first, believe it or not.
It's our fans are the ones that sent it out to us, which is
that's
fantastic.
Amazing. Yes, that is awesome.
No, it distracted me for the full last hour of the show. I was looking, trying
aware,
to figure out how I could take all that stuff.
It did improve your mood, though.
It did improve my mood.
Why do we have to go to Joe Thomas to get tickets to the Killers? I don't understand.
I'm saying, too. Joe, Jason thinks Joe got you the Tornado room reservation. And that's how this one. Joe
God,
joined
Joe,
us.
No, Joe was in.
I know he
Joe
didn't. I know he didn't. I know.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. Well, anyways, Evan, the reason Jason asked you that is because I had a road trip this weekend with another parent and one of the hockey players. And all I asked for was for that person. I drove. I picked the rental car up. I couldn't have been more hospitable. All I said was, hey, can you, because the screen didn't work where you plug it in and whatever that's called, Apple Maps or whatever it is. Can you navigate us to the hotel and to the hockey rinks? And you would have thought that I had asked him to, like, you know, solve world peace. And right. So Jason thinks I'm an incredibly difficult person to ride with, and I am.
Tyrannical.
In fairness, I am. My wife thinks I am. I said you and I would be fine. Do you want to go and do, like, a 5-hour road trip with me?
Okay, so I have a couple of follow-ups on this. First of all, why, if you're taking your son and some of his teammates to hockey, are you renting a car?
Well, we were in Dallas. That's why.
Oh, I didn't know you were in Dallas.
That's a key detail.
That
yeah,
okay.
That's an important
okay,
one to include.
Okay, I left that out. That I wasn't mean, dazzling.
In okay. my head, he's going from Madison to Appleton. I'm like, why the hell are you renting a car? You own a car in Dallas.
You don't need to rent a car from Madison to Appleton. That's fair.
Okay, next.
Any other follow-ups?
I was thinking back. There was a great moment where Tausch and I took an Uber. And the mm-hmm. Uber, and I'm 6'1", and how tall are you, Tausch? 6'4", 6'5"?
I'm 6'3", and some change.
Okay. The two of us took an Uber in probably one of the smallest cars I have ever been in my entire life. And we're both sitting in the back, and literally we had to duck in the car that we were in. It was one of the most painful experiences ever. So I have been in a car with Tausch. We did
but
laugh.
It was fun. We had laughs.
It was fun.
And
it
that's
was
when
fun.
That's when I got snubbed by Russ.
That's
so it
exactly
all comes back
true.
Together.
I was ask about.
So Tausch and I snub. Are in the tiniest. Like think about the Fiat or whatever. Remember in Italian Job, the movie where they had those little cars?
Yeah.
It's like Tausch and I in the back of it. Yeah, Mini Coopers. Thank you. Trying to climb out of the car. Once we finally climb out of the car, Russell Wilson pulls up next to us in a G-Wagon, gets out with sunglasses, and doesn't even acknowledge Tausch's existence.
A lot of room in that
I
car,
I happen to believe, and I'm just being honest on this, I think if Tausch and I went on a road trip together, it would be probably one of the funniest five-hour spans of my life. I would thoroughly enjoy
it. We're going
to do it. Where are we going to go? From where to where?
I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. I'd love to come up and visit your place in the Hamptons. That would be fun. So we could... I don't care where we fly into. Well, once you get your Hampton place, we'll do that. All right, Evan, I've got to move the ball forward here.
I'd love to visit your Appleton place that we have to take a rental
Is it possible that Evan's vision of what it would be like with you in a car for 5 hours and the reality will not quite be the same?
We would have a blast the entire time.
There's a lot of great stuff. All right, Evan.
You're in couch.
What's
that? You know what I can see us doing?
Yep.
Literally,
name an old catcher from the 80s.
No. Oh, okay. Charlie O'Brien, your turn.
Ron Hassey.
I think that what we would do in that spot, Mackie Sasser, is probably go out there and make an insane amount of prank calls to people, Darren Dalton. And we would just make these calls, and then we would just prank people nonstop and do bits the entire time. And we would think it's funny, and no one else would think it was funny.
Would you call Terry Steinbach?
Oh, good one.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. He was definitely good.
Gary Carter, RIP.
Hall of Fame.
Ed Hearn, backup.
One quick question before we move off this, because Tausch wants to move the ball forward because he's the Kansas City Chiefs of people riding with him. He demands greatness. Evan, do you realize that during that five-hour drive, you will not be allowed to stop to pee?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Just an important...
Yeah, like when you got to push yourself.
Yes, work.
You got to push yourself. You go to the bathroom beforehand, and you push yourself.
Yep. Yeah, we're on the same page. Evco, why do you think so many people, and for a reference standpoint, we're about the same age. You're a little bit younger. Jordan with the Bulls, they won 2 three-peats. They won all the time. And universally, I think people were rooting and loved the Bulls. There were some factions of fan bases that didn't. But on the whole, Tiger Woods, on the whole, people love to see greatness. Roger Federer, on the whole, people love to see greatness. Why is it this Chiefs team, which I would argue what they're doing, if they close this up and get 3 in a row, would be something, I mean, just unbelievable. Why is it that there's not the universal love for this group?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think Ben Brust must have written that for you, as I see he's writing us now. Ben, you have enough to do. Don't try to program.
Yeah, Ben, go sell some stuff. Let's get to work.
Ben,
what are you doing?
Ben, you're not that good at any of your jobs. Be fair, okay? Anyway,
it's so harsh criticism.
Fair though.
Fair,
right?
We'll see about this.
I mean, right, Ben Brust on a road trip with us. I'm already annoyed at the thought of Ben Brust on this road trip with us.
Anyway, no, he ain't making that trip. No, Joshy DiMaggio make that trip.
Josh is too smart. The thing is, like, I don't want to feel bad about myself or badly about myself. Josh is arguably the smartest person that works at ESPN Wisconsin or anywhere.
I get all my book recommendations from Josh DiMaggio. I don't know if you knew that. Fun fact.
Me too. I loved Cat in the Hat. Excellent. Anyway, so I think that when we look at greatness and we look at dynasties in sports, all right, we've kind of jumped into this on Unsportsmanlike. I think that there's three categories. There's I love this group, I hate this group, or I'm neutral on this group. I think the Chiefs, believe it or not, are more neutral than love or hate. Let me explain. Love, you brought up, absolutely. MJ, Bulls, everyone loved them. Hate, Patriots dynasty, I would bring up the Warriors to some extent. People hated them when Durant went there. I think a lot of people, not that the Heat were a dynasty, but that four-year run, I think people started hating them because of the
big
three.
A lot of hate.
There's the neutral dynasties. The San Antonio Spurs won 5 titles in 15 years. No one has an opinion on them. Maybe the smallest amount of years, but kind of dynastic, that literally no one has an opinion on, are the San Francisco Giants, who within the last decade plus won 3 World Series titles in 5 years, and I don't know anyone that has an opinion on them. It's unbelievable. I actually think that the Chiefs are more in the neutral category because it's almost like people want to hate them. They take a step back and they're like, what do I actually hate? How do I hate Mahomes?
Yeah.
How do I hate Reed?
Yep.
How do I hate Kelce? Because even if you're like, oh, he's too celebrity. What do you think, that guy doesn't play his butt off? I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
So I don't think I think it's people want to hate them. They don't give you a reason to hate them, and thus they're in that neutral category.
So then what reason have the Chiefs given for people to hate them other than winning?
Nothing. I just said that.
Well, there's a lot of people that hate them.
People think it's fixed. Yeah.
That's just ridiculous that it's fixed. Give me a break.
I'm not arguing that, but my
thought on that is any great team in any sport ever is shown on television and heard on radio more than non-great teams, and thus we dissect every move in a way that we don't. Like, I'm making this up, but if I told you right now, the team that benefited from the most calls this year were the Tennessee Titans, just for argument's sake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that would be odd considering they had the worst record in the league, but no one would then say, yeah, you're so right about that, because no one watches them. Everyone watches the Chiefs. So one gray area call feels like the league is rigging it in their favor because you just watch it more.
So then, as someone who loves Belichick and loved the Patriots, you obviously know that there were plenty of people who hated them. At least you could argue the deflate gate, or like, what's the difference between them and the Chiefs in terms of how people feel publicly about their programs in your estimation?
Yeah. I think it's a good question. So here's what it is. I think the Patriots were fine being villains and leaned into it more so than the Chiefs are at this point. And obviously there are the controversies that you mentioned, the Deflategate, which was completely made up. I don't want to get into that now. Spygate. Belichick is not voluntarily giving you smiles all the time. Andy Reid does, as we know. Mahomes is great. Like, Mahomes is amazing because, remember, for a while, ridiculously, people are like, oh, Aaron Rodgers, most talented guy in the league, and I take him over Tom Brady. Okay, good luck on that one. But now, like, Mahomes has taken over the category of best winner in the league and most talented in the league. He has no comp. He's taken over both. Like, there's not people fighting over him. You know what I'm saying? There's no, like, what's the counter? What are you going to pick Josh Allen and Lamar over Patrick Mahomes? That's crazy.
No.
So
no.
I just think they've settled every argument, Jason, and there's no arguments with them. Like, what are we debating? Who's the best coach in the NFL
there
right
now?
None.
Andy Reid.
Best coach in the NFL? Okay, Andy Reid. Who's the best quarterback in the NFL?
Patrick Mahomes.
All right. Like, there's no debate.
Best defensive coordinator in the league, Jeff Hafley.
Spags.
Okay. Evan, you said something very interesting and provocative yesterday on your show on Sports.
I know.
5 to 9.
What was it?
Here. You think the Buffalo Bills should move on from Sean McDermott, and I think people think it's crazy. Explain what you said yesterday, why you think that should be the case.
Okay. So sometimes coaches are really good, but time has kind of run out.
Doug Collins.
They're not good. Doug Collins, Phil Jackson. The one that's obviously that's way more known. The one that is lesser known that I don't know why because I'm weird, I just thought about was Dwayne Casey. Jason and I were talking about this off the air last week, just chopping up Dwayne Casey.
Raptors.
Story. Dwayne Casey.
Raptors.
Dwayne Casey.
We were driving together.
Yeah, just driving, just sharing some Dwayne Casey. Hey, remember him back in Kentucky in the day? So Dwayne Casey, for those who are unaware, which is everyone, was a really good coach with the Toronto Raptors when they had Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. And every year, they seemingly lost to LeBron. They're like, we can't beat this guy. They ultimately make the decision to move on from Dwayne Casey. And they don't do this whole big search. You know what they do? They say, you, sitting next to him, we think you're going to be better at continuing what he started than he was. And that guy's Nick Nurse, who's now the coach of the Sixers. They promote the assistant. Now, granted, there's context. They traded for Kawhi Leonard. LeBron went to the Lakers, right? The Warriors got banged up in the finals. But nonetheless, they changed it up, some different philosophies, and they won a title. This is not to say that Sean McDermott doesn't deserve to be a head coach. He should be the coach of the Saints right now. They should just hire him blindly, like if he's available. But I'm just wondering whether or not, when Josh Allen has to do this over and over and over again, if you're seeing the same person leading you every time, is it, well, what's the result going to be? Why not flip it up a little bit and continue what they started, but promote Joe Brady to be the head coach, the offensive coordinator?
Mm. Jason, follow-up to that. I thought it was a profound point. Should the Packers have done that after Green Bay lost to Arizona when you're doing the same thing? You have the gut wrench against Seattle. Then you go to Arizona and it falls apart. And Atlanta, should they have – the Packers have said, you know what, Mike McCarthy, you got us to a certain point. We need something new for this second window of Aaron Rodgers' career.
Yeah, I think there were a lot of people that were saying that after they lost the Seattle NFC Championship game, right? There we were not a show yet, but that was a big talking point. Also, I didn't realize
to that as the good old days, right? The pre-free touch days. Yep, go ahead.
The green and gold today. I also didn't realize that Dwayne Casey was named the NBA Coach of the Year and then fired days later. So,
and they won a title after that.
Yeah. I have to admit.
Wait, so question on that for both of you, because I don't know this like you do. Who was on McCarthy's staff at that time that would have been the comp in this?
Yeah, I don't think there was someone. If we say 2014, I don't think there was someone that would have been the Nick Nurse in this
Ben McAdoo.
Equation.
Ben McAdoo would have been it.
Tom Clements?
Clements
went to the Giants, led him to a playoff, didn't he?
Yeah, Ben McAdoo is not widely considered a big-time coach, let's be honest. Okay, so that's not – and now listen, maybe he would have been if he just was named Packers coach, right? Because Packers coaches are pretty – way more successful than Giants coaches have been recently, as we know. But that's part of the comp. See, when I have suggested what I just said, and I said it to Orlovsky yesterday, and I said it to Schefter today on Unsportsmanlike, and like this is not one of these I don't believe in what they're doing, because they both have said to me, well, you're going to fire Sean McDermott? It's not that I think that he's bad. I think some of his decisions are pretty poor, I got to be honest. I just don't know how you keep doing, like, how do you keep doing that? Jason, you would know. How did Rodgers keep getting back up off the mat, or was it hard for him after you lose so many times in almost games? And, by the way, with Hurts getting to the Super Bowl, by my count, 7 quarterbacks since Rodgers came into the league made it to the Super Bowl more than he has.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how he kept doing it. I think if we're being honest, he was increasingly frustrated with Mike. At the same time, I think after his experience in New York, I think there's also the mentality of sometimes the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And you can always get worse if you make that change. How many
That's
teams
like one of the main reasons that Tausch never wanted to work with Ben Brust. True, yeah.
A lot of Brust talk today.
Well, he did text us during the show.
I don't like him. Yeah, I don't like him texting us during this spot. It bothers me. Okay.
It's distracting.
By the way, since you're since Tausch is our NBA guy, do you know who was the Raptors coach before Dwayne Casey?
Do I or does he?
Well, I want to see if he does. I'm guessing you probably do, which is ridiculous know this.
Give me the years that they were coaching.
In early June 2011, the Toronto Raptors decided not to pick up the option on this coach's contract, which led to Casey getting the job.
I don't.
Evan?
I'm actually kind of stumped on it. The Raptors, it was a full-time coach at that point?
Yeah. Jay Triano?
Oh, Jay Triano. Yep. Yep. He's Canadian, I believe.
Well, he was coaching a Canadian team.
Well, no, that doesn't make you Canadian.
No, I understand. Evan, before you call Ben Brust and have a further conversation.
By Jason's logic, Matt LaFleur from Green Bay. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Very much so, yes.
Wow, Luke Fickell from Madison. This is good.
Philippe Alou when he was managing the Montreal Expos. Clearly Canadian. Canadian, also a beverage. When you talked to Dan Orlovsky, did he mention anything about being the Packers' next quarterbacks coach?
I have hinted at that with him. I have gotten
I think he'd be
sense.
Good.
I think he knows football inside and out, and I think that he works his butt off. I could tell you. Let me tell you this about Dan. So when Dan Orlovsky is at the Seaport where we do our show from, in between hits, he's not like hanging out. He literally stands at this little table by the entrance where like they literally leave books that people send in for promotion, and he's sitting there on his computer watching tape in between every single appearance he makes. He is obsessed.
That's the guy I want coaching my quarterback.
With scouting football and breaking down football. Like, there have been many times where I have sat there in the green room with some of the great analysts that ESPN has and just shooting the you-know-what. I have never seen Orlovsky do that. I've never seen him hanging out with anyone other than his laptop analyzing tape.
So then my follow-up question would be, because you obviously talked to him on the air plenty, do you think then his interpersonal skills with the people he'd be coaching would be effective as well?
Yeah, because he is really supportive of like teammates. So one of the very first, I would say, public endorsements our show ever got was him putting out a big tweet about us. He texts me and communicates to me during the show at times. I mean, much better than Brust, obviously.
It's just kind of what I was going to ask.
The way I see him with people, because he presents on purpose a quirky, way about him, I've seen him get along with everyone. Like, he clearly has a rapport from Shannon Sharp to Christopher Mad Dog Russo. And those two, breaking news, not exactly the same personalities. So I cannot sit here and tell you, I have no idea if he's going to be a good football coach. I would assume he would be. I know he's one of the most liked guys around there.
Do you get the inkling that he wants to?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. You don't even have to get it from me. Look at his replies on Twitter. Anytime anyone puts out there, Dan would be good, and he does like the prayer emoji.
It just seems like it'd be
Why specifically to the Packers? What I don't know is a LaFleur tie.
Because they talked to Matt LaFleur talked to him a couple off seasons ago about coaching. So there's a relationship there. So
I mean, I think he's been honest about I think he's got a rapport with Sirianni, but obviously their coaching staff is intact right now, and I think they're busy. But I think that that's always one to keep an eye on. I would think, but I don't know.
Evan, before we let you go, we've got a question in our live chat on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel from Jalen.
Okay.
And I think this is a really good question that I wish I would have thought of when we were having this conversation, honestly. If you advocate for the Bills to fire Sean McDermott, which I know you made your position clear, it's not saying he's a bad coach, then is there an argument to be made that the Packers should fire Matt LaFleur?
After next year, that we have this exact conversation. That's what we've done on your show. We have discussed the fact that we are 1 year away from asking the question as to whether or not he is like Sean McDermott. Here's the difference, though, and there is a big difference. I don't believe, despite the Eagles getting to the Super Bowl twice in 4 years, I don't believe there is a barrier between LaFleur / Love and the Super Bowl like there is with McDermott and Allen, because one is in the conference of Mahomes and the other is not.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of these. I'll throw you another for a loop on this one, and Tausch will love this idea. Who's actually closer to winning a Super Bowl? Let's just call it in the AFC right now. Is it the bad teams that you feel like have good future quarterbacks, or is it the good teams that are in their prime competing with the Chiefs? In other words, I'll just use the team I root for. If I told you one of these two teams is going to win a Super Bowl first, Buffalo or New England, where are you going to go? And not that New England is even in the same realm as Buffalo, but it's Buffalo's window coinciding with New England's, or New England's window is when Kansas City starts to slip.
Right. Yeah.
Correct answer is Baltimore. That's the correct answer.
Explain, because why would Baltimore be different than Buffalo?
Well, I just think Lamar Jackson and what they do is different. And I just believe that they'll get their defense right quicker than what Buffalo does. Buffalo's defense was not good this year. They just weren't. And you saw the analogy that Damian Woody said, and I don't know if it was on your show or if it was on Get Up, is so perfect. Patrick Mahomes is Tiger Woods. He is going to play at a certain level. He is also going to force you to either come up to that level or try to get there, and you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone and do things that you normally don't do. Josh Allen was rattled in the beginning of that game. Sean McDermott was rattled. They felt it. They felt the Sunday red. It's so good. It's exactly right. I don't know, under their current pretenses, they're going to have to change some stuff up. I don't think Baltimore does. I think Lamar Jackson just has to clean up a little bit. I think Buffalo needs a full-on total mindset difference. I don't feel that way with Baltimore.
If there was only someone that was available all year that was unfazed by a big moment that they could have had lead that team.
Bill Belichick.
I didn't say it.
Oh, Buffalo would be just crazy laughable to not bring Bill Belichick in.
It's just freaking
Buffalo laughable. Should have Bill Belichick on speed dial.
I love that we say speed dial. Isn't everyone on speed dial?
Evan, hold up a second. When you're on radio, here's a thing I learned from the great Stu. You have to paint a picture. If I say just click a phone button, if I say speed dial, it's like quick, bam. That's the way you want to describe
it. All of us have children, right? Do you think if we said to our children, do you know what speed dial is?
Is Bill Belichick a child? Is Bill Belichick?
No, but I'm just curious. All of us do this. Oh, you have this person on speed dial. Every person in your life is on speed dial. Although,
potentially,
did you hear, we had Bobby Marks on last week, the NBA front office insider. He told an unbelievable story. Bobby Marks admitted on our show, you can find it at OnSportsESPN on Twitter. He admitted on our show that he recently had a conversation with an NBA GM. He didn't have the number saved in his phone and didn't realize who the GM was until after he hung up.
Yeah, I can see that.
Think about that for a second.
I can see that.
Wow. You can see that?
Yeah.
Is he like asking questions, like really general questions, hoping that he'll say something that tips him off?
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's the thing, Jason. I thought the same thing that you thought. I'm just like, wait a minute. I know enough about the NBA that if I could call Bobby and just be like, hey, you know, we're thinking of trading Chris and Bobby. You know, I don't know if we want Butler, maybe Levine. Does he think I'm John Horst? Just because, like, because I have his number?
We don't want Butler, I can tell you that.
Do you not want Butler if it's Middleton, Portland, and Connaughton in a three-way deal? Okay.
I don't want Butler.
Do you want Levine?
I'll have to think more about Levine. I just have been hearing the Butler rumors, and I'm out.
You should call Bobby Marks and have a conversation about it.
I'll put him on speed dial.
Speed dial. Dallas. Who shot JR? We are timely. Timely indeed on this program. Evan.
Let's be honest. This is the best 25 minutes of your show every week. Is it not? That's what everybody says.
Well, Bulaga's pretty good. That's exactly.
Bulaga. I mean, that is true. It's you need an offensive lineman perspective on this show because you don't have one.
Yes, very insightful. Wow. Evan, thank you.
That's a low blow, but fair.
Enjoy your ride with Tausch. Yes, good luck with that. It is 10:05. The 9 o'clock hour is not even over yet. More Wilde and Tausch. Straight ahead. Stick around.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Thanks, as always, Devin Cohen, the best 25, or in today's case, almost 35 minutes of our show, except for when we have Bulaga on. I do not want to turn this into the Packers should fire Matt LaFleur conversation, because I don't believe that. And I don't believe that the Buffalo Bills should fire Sean McDermott. But am I guilty of being afraid of change, which I definitely am in my personal life as well as my professional life, to suggest that that's a wrong-headed idea? Because there were those folks that suggested it about Mike McCarthy, and you can always do worse, but maybe you could have done better. You could definitely do worse than Matt LaFleur, but maybe you could do better. I'm not a risk taker. If I have a good coach, I want to believe that I will put together a roster that will allow that coach to win me a Super Bowl. Is that just lazy, fearful thinking? Because I would have never made the argument that Buffalo needs to try something other than Sean McDermott.
So Sean McDermott, if he lived the way you just said, he would have gotten fired last year. He changed offensive coordinators mid-season, got rid of Ken Dorsey, brought in Joe Brady. And Buffalo changed their tune. Now Joe Brady is, you know, getting interviewed for different jobs. Obviously New Orleans is the last spot left. But there is something, especially when you keep getting to certain spots and you get roadblocked. You have to do something different. Guys aren't going to continue to hit their head against the wall and say, well, maybe this time it'll work. Maybe this time. You get a couple of those. And then you have a different group. Like, the NFL is not, you know, it is, if you're afraid of change, you're in the wrong business. Your roster overhauls 25-30% every year. So I just look at what Buffalo is doing. They're going to be in a similar spot to what San Fran had to deal with without actually getting to the Super Bowl. And I'm telling you, mentally, it is a hard thing to keep a locker room full of guys, core guys that have fought and grinded and keep falling short. Doesn't mean Sean McDermott can't do it, but he knew last year he needed to make a change. I don't know what they're going to do on the defensive coordinator side of it. Obviously, they have to get better on that side as well, like a lot of teams do. But you only have so much runway as a head football coach. Bill Parcells said it, about 10 years. He bounced around a bunch. Your message gets a little stale. You have to keep reinventing things and showing your guys that what you're doing and evolving works. And if it doesn't, you're going to lose guys. And you can't afford to lose a ton of guys. If you do, you can't win at a big-time level. And that's what Buffalo, that's what Green Bay had to deal with. And Green Bay did it. They made a change, and it's worked. But it has not gotten them to the top of the heap. I agree. Matt LaFleur is a good football coach. This is a big year for him. A really big year for him. And if things go south, you know, that hot seat is – his seat is not hot. But he's got the one little red button. Like, it's warmed up. It has not been warm the entire time he's been here. For the first offseason, I think it is now at least turned on. And as the season unfolds, if things don't go well, that puppy will be, you know, it ain't going to be Planes, Trains, and Automobile hot. But it'll be warm.
Griddle marks. Sean McDermott became their coach in 2017. His playoff history: lost to the Jaguars in the wild card round, lost to the Texans in the wild card round, lost to the Chiefs in the AFC Championship, lost to the Chiefs in the divisional round, lost to the Bengals in the divisional round, lost to the Chiefs in the divisional round, lost to the Chiefs in the AFC Championship.
Yeah.
For the last X number of years, it's largely been a Chiefs problem. And maybe it's just that they are in the wrong era. And if he wasn't having to go against a team that's been to seven straight AFC championship games, maybe it's circumstantial. Maybe it's not because he's not doing something. Maybe he's just going up against one of the great dynasties, and it's a tough break to be in the league at this time.
I'm certainly glad that the great innovators and others just say, wow, it's just not... You know, Nikola Tesla versus whoever else was Edison. Oh, you know, they're too good.
Marconi?
I'm just going to give in. Whatever. I'm going to give in. That's not how guys think. It's not. What do we have to do? And sometimes it is different. We got to change it up. And it doesn't always work. But if Buffalo's just going to sit here and be resigned to the fact that they're never going to beat Kansas City and can't beat Mahomes...
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you resign yourself to that. I'm saying that maybe it's not the head coach who is the reason why you're not beating them.
Is it easier to get rid of a coach or a full roster?
You know the answer to that.
Well, I'm asking you.
I know the answer to that. It's easier to get rid of a coach.
Andy Reid couldn't get over the hump in Philly. He was a great coach. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It got stale, and everybody needed a change, and it worked out great for everybody involved. Change isn't always bad. It's scary. You're out there. Sometimes it's necessary. And if you don't jump on it and go and put yourself out and try to do something different, because how does that old saying go? When you expect different results and doing the same thing, it's insanity. They're trying to do some different things, but the bottom line is, with Sean McDermott leading, they're a jittery bunch. They were jittery the other night. Kansas City ain't. You better find somebody, and I'm kind of on board with it.
Yeah.
Your window is tightening. Josh Allen's 29. if I'm the Buffalo Bills and next year, I'm not doing anything this year. Sean McDermott's back. They get off to a slow start, and it gets to be October, November, and they're middling. I'm calling North Carolina. I'm saying, Bill, we need you to get over the hump. Get in here. Let's see what happens.
All right, we need to get to the 10 o'clock hour. Again, you are more fearless than me. But I would have never fired Mike McCarthy. And maybe the Packers have another Super Bowl had they done that. I don't know. Maybe they also spiral, and so many teams that get the hiring wrong end up never figuring it out. The Bears fired a guy that went 10-6 and took them to a Super Bowl several years earlier, and then they never got their blank together. And now they're hoping Ben Johnson, more than a decade after they moved on from Lovey, gets it fixed. So you're right. Maybe the change gets you where you want to go, or maybe you become the Bears.
Maybe
that's a possibility, too. What you don't want to be is, if you've been injured in an accident, going with one of these fly-by-night operations that you know you can't trust. You've got to trust the best, and the best, of course, is Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Go to the website, gruber-law.com. Find out more about the firm, about all the great things they do in our communities, all the teams they support, but most importantly, that they're there for you, and all it takes is one call to get the process started. 414-276-6666. Time for the 10 o'clock hour. It'll start around 10:21. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.